I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. On this week's Political Corner, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams and guests discuss Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick's tough re-election bid and controversial Florida Republican Congresswoman Katherine Harris's decision to run for the U.S. Senate.
I'm joined by Ron Walters. He's a professor of political science at the University of Maryland and the author of several books, including Freedom Is Not Enough. Professor Walters was an advisor to Reverend Jesse Jackson's two presidential campaigns. We're also joined by Reverend Joseph Watkins. He's the pastor of Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church in Philadelphia. Reverend Watkins was an advisor to President George W. Bush's re-election campaign. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you, Juan.
Recently disclosed memos suggest that Supreme Court nominee John Roberts has a questionable history when it comes to civil rights. For example, while he was in President Reagan's Office of White House Counsel, he opposed provisions of the Civil Rights Act as well as some affirmative action programs. His paper trail also includes giving legal support, again while an aide to President Reagan, to a memorial service for aborted fetuses. He said the service was an appropriate way to call attention to, quote, the abortion tragedy. I might add he also opposed during that same period the concept of equal pay for comparable work for men and women, calling that a radical redistribution concept. So I want to know how you think these revelations are going to affect his prospects for confirmation. Reverend Watkins?
Well, as we all know, of course, people on both the left and the right who are experts in the legal field have said that none of us should interpret John Roberts' writings from that era, from the Reagan and the first Bush era, as any kind of a certain predictor of how he might vote or what issues, what kinds of opinions he might issue on some of these same matters if he were to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. He was a senior legal advisor to Ronald Reagan, and he also was a senior aide to in the first Bush administration, and he served his clients. He knew what his clients wanted, what they were looking for, and he served them and served them well. But I think it would be a mistake on anybody's part to assume that because he made those pronouncements in his writings back in the 1980s, that represents in any way an idea of what he might do now as a member of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ron Walters, do you buy it?
Many of the people on the left that I've talked to, Juan, in the last couple of weeks are growing a little bit tired with this assumption that John Roberts has worked for Republican administrations and that somehow he doesn't believe in the advice that he gave his clients. The fact that people have sort of putting that down has built, I think, a kind of fire under people in the Senate on the Democratic side. And I think that what they're trying to do is to say, that, well, look, here's someone who is not favorable to many of the ideas and the public policies that we stand for.
Joe Watkins, I want you to do a little prognostication here. We've got 55 Republicans in the Senate, 44 Democrats, one independent. How many Democrats do you think are going to vote for John Roberts?
I would not be surprised if 10 or more Democrats voted for John Roberts. I think that a number of Democrats are comfortable with him, and it's fair to say that a number of them are going to support him when the confirmation comes up.
So, Joe Watkins, you're saying 10 of the 44 Democrats, and by the way, do you include the lone African-American in the Senate, Barack Obama of Illinois?
It'd be wonderful to see Barack Obama support John Roberts.
All right, Ron Walters, I'm going to pose the same question to you. How many of those 44 Democrats do you anticipate voting for John Roberts? And what about the lone African-American in the Senate, Barack Obama of Illinois?
Well, I agree with that number. It's going to be somewhere around, I think, 10 defections. I don't think that Barack Obama is going to vote for him. And I think that that's going to be a symbolic position that Barack Obama will take. And I think that what he's going to have to do is to be a good soldier in this and certainly not as pragmatic, I think, as he otherwise would be.
Topic two, Detroit's mayoral runoff. At the moment, Kwame Kilpatrick, the incumbent, 35 years old, has about 34% of the vote. He placed second in the initial in the primary to Freeman Hendricks, a former aide to former Mayor Dennis Archer, who got 44% of the vote. So, Joe Watkins, what are Detroiters expecting over the next 3 months before the November 8th general election, and who wins that race?
Well, Kilpatrick is the one that has the harder road to toe at this point. Of course, if he had been the top finisher in the nonpartisan contest this past Tuesday, there wouldn't be much to worry about. But Hendricks really did outpoint him pretty significantly. And the fact that Kilpatrick as the sitting mayor came in second place because of all the scandals that plagued his first term, it's possible that he could have trouble raising money, which could make it even more difficult for him to overcome Hendricks and Hendricks' momentum.
Ron Walters?
The big problem, of course, if you read the Detroit press, is that women ran away from him. And, of course, in his several years ago when he ran for mayor, he picked up the vote of women. Women, of course, are sensitive to the kinds of things that Joe talked about in terms of scandals. He's been accused, of course, of spending the city's money on luxury items, an SUV for his wife. So the word is that he has not delivered. And I really don't see how, given all of these problems, that he's going to pull out of this and gain the 10 to 15 points in the public that he needs to win.
All right. Let me go to another topic. This one takes us to the south, to Florida. Republican Congresswoman Catherine Harris is in a campaign for the U.S. Senate running against Democratic Senator Bill Nelson, who was elected in 2000. The latest polls show she's trailing, but she says only by an eyelash. So let me ask you, Ron Walters, is there any way that a state official with a history as controversial as hers for having presided as the top election official in the controversial 2000 presidential race, is there any way that she is able to get beyond her past and her controversial positions and become sufficiently strong to beat Bill Nelson?
I don't think so, Juan. I think she's typecast. You've got Republican strategists in the state of Florida and in the White House saying that they would like somebody else. And as a matter of fact, they've tried to get other people to consider running. They haven't been successful so far, so she's out there by herself. But the $64 question here is how much is the party going to put into her campaign? People think that she is too polarizing. And if the party is identified with her too closely, they could lose some other races.
Joe Watkins, is there any strategy on the GOP side?
I think she's got some advantages. Obviously, the issue will be there that she was the one that certified President Bush as the state's winner back in 2000. But that's just one issue, and it's a small issue, and it's not probably going to be a sticking issue ultimately. This is somebody who has managed to win two terms to the U.S. Congress, so she does have a base with regards to her congressional district. And so she's known nationally. She has the ability to raise money outside of Florida, which is a helpful thing. She's going to need lots of money to be competitive and to overcome Nelson, but she can do it. I don't think the story is yet out. I think that if she's able to raise the needed funds, that she'll be very, very competitive.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Ron Walters is a professor of political science at the University of Maryland and a former advisor to Reverend Jesse Jackson. He joined us from NPR Studios in Washington, D.C. Reverend Joseph Watkins is head of Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church in Philadelphia. He was a member of the first President Bush's White House staff. He joined us from Philadelphia. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you, Juan.
Join us every Thursday to hear more from Juan and our political insiders right here on Political Corner.